From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will begin his ninth message in a series expounding Isaiah chapter 53. The title of this message is The Silent Sufferer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God is a Sanctuary. The text is Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 16. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Banished from the public means of grace, we are not removed from the grace of the means. The Lord who places His people where they feel as exiles will Himself be with them and be to them all that they could have had at home in the place of their solemn assemblies. Take this to yourselves, O ye who are called to wander. God is to His people a place of refuge. They find sanctuary with Him from every adversary. He is their place of worship, too. He is with them as with Jacob when he slept in the open field, and rising said, Surely God was in this place. To them also He will be a sanctuary of quiet, like the Holy of Holies, which was the noiseless abode of the Eternal. They shall be quiet from fear of evil. God Himself in Christ Jesus is the sanctuary of mercy. The Ark of the Covenant is the Lord Jesus. And Aaron's rod, the pot of manna, the tables of the law, all are in Christ our sanctuary. In God we find the shrine of holiness and of communion. What more do we need? O Lord, fulfill this promise and be ever to us as a little sanctuary.
My woe, how often like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O the rock of my soul, the rock of my soul.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he commences his ninth message, an exposition of verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. As Dr. Cairns takes us deeper into the unspeakable sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ as revealed in this blessed passage, he makes three statements regarding our Lord's sacrifice of himself on the cross. First, Christ willingly gave himself as a ransom for his people. Now to bring the opening portion of a message entitled, The Silent Sufferer. Here is Dr. Cairns.
This morning we continue with our studies in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Today we come to the words of the verse 7. Of this famous passage of God's Word, which speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. The seventh verse says of Christ, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not his mouth. There's an old saying that speech is silver, but silence is golden. Of the Lord Jesus Christ it was said, even by those who came on one occasion to arrest him, never man spake like this man. Everywhere the Savior went, crowds flocked to hear the words that he spoke. As the Lord Jesus ministered, he spoke of great things. He spoke of God and of the devil. He spoke of sin and of salvation. He spoke of heaven and of hell. He spoke of time and of eternity. And as he spoke on all these subjects, he did so in a way that no one had ever heard before. While the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to men, he used intriguing parables. He gave them devastating exposures of human depravity. He made unparalleled statements of divine love. He brought with urgency to the consciences of his hearers the greatest calls in Scripture to repentance and to faith, and added to those startling warnings of the everlasting and disastrous results of sin cherished and unrepented of. We do well to mark every utterance of him who is called the Word of God and the truth of God. Not one word of Christ is without significance. It is only our dullness and our deadness that does not allow us to grasp the mighty importance and eternal significance of even the smallest utterance of God manifested in the flesh. His ministry was to speak God's word. Therefore, when we find that speech suddenly ceasing, we do well to be struck and to ask ourselves, why? Why suddenly is this great message silenced? Why is the mouth that spoke such wondrous things now dumb? As we stand at the trial, the scourging, and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are wrapped in the golden silence of the cross. We have read in our text today, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Here we have the full meaning of the stillness of Christ revealed. I think, as you read the Bible, there are some very eloquent silences in Scripture. When you read, for instance, the book of the Revelation, you would do well to pay attention to the silence in heaven by the space of a half hour. That is not an insignificant statement in the scheme of the Revelation. There are some silences in Scripture that are mightily eloquent. But in all the Word of God, there is no more eloquent silence than that of Christ before and during Calvary. Today I want us to turn to the famous words of our text and consider Christ as the silent sufferer, and seek to enter in to some of the great riches of this statement. There are simply three truths that I want to seek to establish from the text. The first one is this. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly gave himself to be a ransom for his people. Notice the wording very carefully. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. The word oppressed is a very interesting word. It has a very wide range of meaning, probably all coming from one basic thrust within the word. The word means to drive or to impel. If you read through your Old Testament, you'll find that other forms of this particular word occur in various places. It's translated an oppressor. Job 39:7 translates a form of this word as a driver. And of course, back in the book of Exodus chapter 5 and verse 6, when we read of the taskmasters that were set over the captive Jews in Egypt, it is basically the same word. And so it is in many ways properly translated here. He was oppressed. Because of that meaning of the word, many simply take this text to state that the Lord Jesus Christ was oppressed. He was driven. He was vexed. He was ill-treated by his enemies, and yet he patiently, uncomplainingly bore it all. Now that is very, very true. But yet I think that it doesn't do justice to the full meaning of the word. Because as you read on in Scripture, you find that there is a usage in Scripture of this word. That brings us to the very depths of Calvary. You turn back with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15. You'll find an interesting translation of what is basically the same Hebrew word. Deuteronomy 15 and verse 2. This is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth ought unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again. The word exact is the same verb that we find in our text. We find the same translation in 2 Kings 23 and 35. And an interesting thing in Daniel 11 and verse 20, we find the form of the word there is translated the raiser of taxes. In other words, there is a stream running through the Old Testament in which this verb that is translated, he was oppressed, has the meaning very plainly and clearly to exact a tribute or a ransom. To exact a tribute or a ransom. Now look carefully at the context in Isaiah chapter 53. The end of verse 6 says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And immediately after that, the statement of the text. And one translator says, and it was exacted of him. It was demanded of him. It is probably more accurate to say that the Lord Jesus Christ, as sin was laid upon him, met the demands of God fully and finally. He paid the price exacted for our sin. I believe that that is in the text. I believe that is a very powerful and forceful statement of the meaning of the prophet. Yes, he was oppressed by men. Yes, all the fury of man's hatred came upon him, and he patiently bore it all. But in the sufferings of the cross, as God laid our sins on Jesus, the full payment due to a broken law, the full satisfaction of offended justice was exacted of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awful price he paid. But the text will indicate that he paid it willingly. For not only do we read he was oppressed, but we read he was afflicted. The word afflicted means to be afflicted, to be oppressed, to be made to labor. But there is a very interesting nuance in this second clause of the verse. In many ancient languages, you will find that words that we use separately, like personal pronouns, are all part of the verb. If you ever have to learn any language like Hebrew or Greek or Latin, you'll find that you don't need a separate word to say, I love or I hate. When you learn Latin, you find every stupid little boy, well, possibly our school didn't use this verb for this notion, but for this reason. The first thing you learn is the first conjugation. And you learn amo, amas, amat. And that is, I love, you love, he loves. And of course, at 11 years old, you think it's wonderful to be able to go around in a foreign language declaring that you love someone and you think nobody knows what you're talking about. But you don't need to say ego amo. It's just amo, I love. That's the same in Hebrew. It's the same in Greek. It's in the ending of the verb. Thus, when in addition to the verb you have a personal pronoun added, it is usually for emphasis. Now, when it says he was oppressed, that is the plain statement, and it's all in the verbal form. And he was afflicted. There is the addition of the personal pronoun, and it's therefore a special emphasis, leading many translators and scholars and commentators to emphasize that he willingly was afflicted, or he humbled himself willingly, or he willingly submitted himself to pay this awful price that was exacted of him at Calvary. And of course, this fully agrees with the multiplied statements of the Word of God. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, you have the statement that the Lord Jesus gave his life a ransom for many. In John 10 and verse 11, you have him saying, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In Galatians 2 and 20, the apostle Paul says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. We have often read the statement of Paul in Ephesians 5, where he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, and husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Why did he give himself for it? In order that he would purchase it unto himself. In 1 Timothy 2 and 6, he goes further and he says he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Thus the Lord Jesus Christ willingly gave himself to be a ransom. I put these two statements together. He was oppressed. From him was exacted the full payment for our sin. On Calvary's cross, a work of strict justice took place. We ought never to be blind to the meaning and the message of mercy at Calvary. But let me tell you, no man preaches the love of God as the Bible does. No man begins to scratch the surface of the great subject of God's mercy who does not emphasize the terrible stroke of justice at Calvary's cross. God does not simply bat his eyelids and say, I forgive sin. God, eternally holy, cannot simply turn away and say, I will imagine that sin never took place. The satisfaction of God's law is an absolute essential to the saving of the soul. Therefore, it is the greatest height and depth of mercy that God, in the person of his own dear Son, should pay that price and have the awful fullness of the price of our sin exacted from Christ. That is the height of mercy. And the fact that he willingly humbled himself shows surely that our Lord Jesus Christ willingly became the ransom, paying all that was due to God and his law because of our guilt and our sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.